On page Yud Tes, in the middle of the page, where it says, Lo Dai Lelamedis Anar. In the introduction, the Rebbe is addressing the parents and the teachers of the new generation, and is discussing the unique problems, the unique differences in the new generation of Jews that's being raised, and the outlook that the parents and the Rebbe must have. The first thing, of course, is not to ignore the blame that they have in many of the things that are going wrong with the new generation, and then to understand the nature of the young generation, of the new generation, and the difference between modern times and earlier times, which is primarily revolving around the premature maturation, or the young people think that they're mature, think that they are prepared for life much earlier than they ever used to be, and therefore all the difficulties and differences and struggles of the new generation have to be understood in this light, and we have to address these things. And therefore the Rebbe was talking about, the last thing we did was the Rebbe was saying that we have to, it's impossible to educate the new generation without trying to incline ourselves towards the young people and understand, in order to understand how they're different and what their needs are, and to try to adapt our ways, Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, in order to accommodate the unique personality and lifestyle of the new generation. Let's continue. Lo Dai Lelamedis Anar. So the Rebbe says, Lo Dai Lelamedis Anar. It's not enough to teach the child
that you have to listen to the parents and you have to listen to his Rebbe. He has to listen to his Rebbe.
That's not enough. This alone will not be effective. Because as we learned before, he will ultimately see his parent and see his Rebbe as somebody who was a tyrant, somebody who's trying to force his views upon the child, somebody who's trying to control his life. Because remember, the child now feels a certain sense of independence. He feels a sense of empowerment that the young people never felt in the past. And just to tell the kid, be quiet and listen, this is the way it's going to be, this is how you have to do it. So ultimately, that might work in the beginning, when he's very little, but ultimately the children begin to see the parents and begin to see the rebellion as foreign rulers. They hear everything that they're saying is completely irrelevant. I don't know what you're talking about. Your expectations and your demands have nothing to do with my personality, with who I am.
He says,
nowadays, the only way to be successful as a parent and as a Rebbe is by having the child realize that really, Hanar Ba'atzmo, that the child himself, Hu Ikar Mechanech, he is the main Mechanech. The child must feel that he's mostly responsible for his own upbringing, for his own chinuch. Hu ikar mechanech, lo katan v'narhu. And he has to know that he's not just a little kid, a dumb little kid. Rak neitzer mata Hashem bekerem beis Yisraelu. He is a sapling that's planted by Hashem, a precious sapling planted by Hashem in Klal Yisrael. And Hashem has given him, the child, the responsibility to nurture this sapling, to raise it. To make him to a great tree of life, himself. To mold himself into a servant of Hashem, a great tzaddik, and somebody who's great in Torah. In other words, where in the past, a child until he was well into the years of
he's prepared to get married and so on, a child saw himself as primarily a golem, unformed and undeveloped, unripened, and it's up to my Rebbe, it's up to my parents to do that. And therefore the child was completely open to the ideas of the Rebbe, of the parents. He allowed himself to be shaped, to be formed by their beliefs, by their teachings. It didn't have to be explained. This is why, and this is why. It's just this is. They trusted the parents. They trusted the teachers that we ourselves are not in a position. We are not mature enough to make these kind of decisions on our own. And we trust our parents. We trust our teachers, and we're going to live this way. And then when they're older, they would start to work things out. But the Rebbe says that nowadays you can't do that. Since the kids, when they're already, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, the kid feels already that he's a gavaraba. He looks at himself as being somebody that's independent, somebody that has to make his own decisions. Therefore, the Rebbe says that now, the ikar achinuch, the main part of chinuch now is to help the child realize that he is responsible for his own greatness in his own Yiddishkeit. That you'll help. But he's his main mechanech. The cave in Shadaita Verucha Oktana V'Tara Harbe Odloi Lamad. Since the child, Sof Kol Sof, is a child, and therefore he doesn't understand much, and he hasn't learned much, the Yitzor Merakeit Bekerbo, but he has a little Yitzahara that's already dancing around inside of him. Lachain Impachat Hashem L'Negedein of V'Yari Hushal Oyechtan Negdov Loyashkis is Kerem Hashem Savokos. If he has some fear of Hashem, and as a result of that, he is afraid to sin against Hashem. Mukhvachu Lishmo is Taras Hashem. Vidarko Mipi Rabo Vaviv. Then certainly he must obey the Torah of Hashem. And he must listen to the teachings of his Rebbe and his parents. Whether there are things that are clearly spelled out in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, or if it's things that are not clearly spelled out. Kama is here, the next page. Kama is here, Atar Lishmol Kola Ava Mechanech. In other words, it's not you have to listen to me because I'm your father. You have to listen to me because I'm your Rebbe. It's that the child himself, despite how young he is in years, the child himself has to be taught to understand that the Torah itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, has instructed him to listen to the Father, to listen to his Rebbe. Kegon Shal Avicha V'Yageidcha Zekenech V'Yomer Lach, as it says, ask your father and he will tell you. Lo Sosu, not to go away from the teachings of the sages. Shma B'ni Musar Avicha, listen my son to the teachings of the father, to the rebuke of the father. V'Hasaru Meir Lo Yozer Shum Aveir Mefresh B'Tar Shabach Sabah Shabal Peh. And he has to be taught that this is the Ratzon Hashem. He has to understand himself this is the Ratzon Hashem. Not just do this and do that. He has to understand himself, the Ratzon of Hashem. And that the Torah has revealed that a Ben Sora Moira, that the rebellious son in Parashat Ki Seitzei, also Shuma Vem Refresh B'Torah Shabach Sabah Shabal Peh. It's not that he's guilty of any specific sin. He has to understand on his own the danger of ignoring his parents, the danger of ignoring his teachers. That the whole sin of the Ben Sora Mora is not that there's a specific aver, but that he is what? He's rebellious. He's not called a Ben Zolul V'Soyvei, that he's overeating or indulging. Rak Al Shem Sora Mora, he's rebellious. Al Shem Mamre Neged Oviv U'Mechancho, because he rebels against his father and against his teachers. And the Rebbe and the teacher and the parents have to go over this and review this time after time, that the child should understand this, that he should really understand that this is the Ratzon Hashem. He should understand himself the awesome responsibility of raising a Jew. Eitz began Hashem be'eden. Now, obviously, if a parent himself doesn't live this kind of a life, he's not going to impart it to his child. And this is the main problem. If the father or mother themselves are rebelling, so then what do you expect of the child? And what the parents and the teachers have to show the child is, look, this is a responsibility that you have between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're not a baby. The Torah instructs you to live this way. My job as your parent, my job as your Rebbe, is Asher Yorehu, just to guide you somewhat. Ech Yichanichu Es Atzmo, how you should raise yourself. Umadibra Hashem, and to inform you about the Dvar Hashem. Not that I'm telling you do this and do that. I'm just going to help you understand what Hashem is telling you, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say to you. But the main responsibility of chinuch lies on yourself, to be mechanich yourself. Like somebody who's coming to ask a shayla in halacha. That's the job of the parent, that's the job of the Rebbe. But the child, as if the child is coming to ask a shayla, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. Not that I'm telling you, because I'm telling you, you have to do this. No, I'm just answering your shaylas. Shadainu rakamayra shayareyu makosher, that the job of the dying is just to say this is kosher, that's not kosher. I will ikar ha'aisu balabayis bebeisa. But how the person lives is up to the balabayis, his own house. The rav doesn't come, the dayan from the basin doesn't come to your house to tell you, don't eat that. That's up to you. I had a friend of mine that we went to yeshiva together, we got smicha together, except he was only a rabbi. He wanted to be a rav. I only wanted to be in chinuch. So he got some job someplace in some shtetl in Canada. I don't mean Montreal or Toronto. Someplace much colder. Worse. So, there were a couple of Jews there. So he was all excited, got the shtetl. So he wasn't much of a Lamdan or a Talmud Chacham. But he a very nice guy. So he told me, so his whole career lasted maybe 6 months, then he quit. So I asked him, what happened to you? So he said that he there was a woman who came to him in shul on Yontav and said, Rabbi, I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. Am I allowed to eat my chicken? I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. So as I told you, he's not much of a Talmud Chacham. So he said, no, the truth is that she could have relied upon his Erev Tavshilin, right? Okay, but that's a separate issue. That's why I gave him a Mishaberech for that anyway. But then he said, no, you can't eat the chicken. You didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. So she came back the next day and she said, Rabbi, I ate the chicken. I want you to know. In other words, I don't care about what you told me. I ate the chicken. I'm guessing the chicken. Yeah, like, you know, I just want you to know that I don't care about it. So like he says, like, why do you ask me? No, I'm just interested to know, but I ate the chicken anyway. So you know, the problem is that the Rav or the Dayan, he could only tell you when you ask him, he could say, yes, you ask him a shayla, he says, well, this is the proper way. But then it's up to the Balabayas to live that way. So as far as chinuch is concerned, it's not anymore, this is what you have to do because I'm telling you to do this and that I have the main responsibility for what kind of a Jew you are. That's not going to work nowadays. It's that the child has to understand that that all the parent can do is to provide the information and, of course, the warmth and the guidance, but the essential requirement for the chinuch and how you live and what you're going to do, you tell the kid, listen, my friend, that's up to you. That's your decision. That's your decision. You're going to have to make those choices. Ultimately, the Balabais is going to have to decide whether or not he's going to eat the chicken or he's not going to eat the chicken. The Rebbe can only say the chicken is kosher, the chicken is treif. A Rebbe could say, listen, this television program is treif. The Rebbe could say that this lifestyle is treif. But whether or not the child is actually going to make the decision to live that, to go to that show, or to live that lifestyle, That's not anything that nowadays we can control. That's up to the child. It's scary. It's scary because the children are making very, very big decisions. When a parent is a tremendous bal seichel, there's a way to cut down on the percentages a little bit to make things a little bit better, easier. But for the most part, it's going to be up to the child, and the child has to know that. He has to feel that. And we have a great deal to gain when we do this. There's a great deal to gain. And everybody knows how a child feels. I was just talking to one of the Chavarim yesterday. Everybody knows how a child feels when you give him something and he feels it, and you give him the responsibility to take care of this. Even if it's something in the house. Where if you tell the kid, do this, do that, and the child feels that he has no shaychus to it, even if it's a simple physical chore, he doesn't want to do it. But if you tell the child, listen, I'm putting you in charge of this. This is your responsibility, and you're in charge. You know, you have a little baby brother or sister. You know, this is your job, and you take care of it. And it's a chashuv thing. And if you dress it the right way, and the kid feels that he has an achrayis, that it's his achrayis, so then the child feels that it's no longer just some dictator telling him what to do, but that it's relevant to his life, and that he feels important. That the same chore that if you would give it to him in a different way, he would feel that he's being manipulated. He would feel that he's being controlled. But when you give it to him in the way where he understands that this is something which is his achrayis, and that you respect him as a chosh of a person, he has this achrayis. So then, not only is it possible that he'll do this, that he'll take care of that, but he'll feel a sense of pride. He'll feel a sense of pride, and he'll feel that a connection to that chore, to that task. And it won't be that somebody else's will is being imposed upon him, but that he himself wants to do this. He himself feels a pride because it's his. He feels a connection to it. It's his. So certainly, how much more so when it comes to his entire life and his entire Yiddishkeit, that the child has to feel that it's his. It's his Yiddishkeit. Yeah.
Is this approach a bit yavin? It's sounding like it's maybe better than
lachatchila. Nowadays, it's lachatchila, but certainly in the bigger scheme of how things have gone, it's a bedeavid. The lachatchila is that a child is not in a position to take such responsibility into his own hands because the child doesn't understand and the child's immature, and therefore the way that it generally went was that there was a tremendous amount of trust and innocence and simplicity in the children. As brilliant as they were, there was trust, simplicity, and innocence, and they were just being makabel. They were just receiving Moshe Kibel Torah Mesina, Mesorli Yeshua, and so on. They received from the older generation. And then it would be processed when they would be 20, 21, 22, and throughout one's life to forge one's own path. That's the chachila. But the Rebbe is saying that forget about it. Forget about that now. It's a very dangerous path now. Instead now, so historically this is what we're in now is a b'deavid. But the lechachila now is this. Would it have worked in the past? So it perhaps would have worked, but it certainly is a dangerous path because a child is not really mature enough, like we were talking about last week. The sense of independence that the children have. You have conversations with 12, 13, 14-year-old kids that think that they know everything. They think that this was not the way it was years ago. But we can't ignore that. But the Rebbe is saying is we can't make believe that this is not the case. We must accept that these are the new conditions of our of life and of the new generation. And therefore we have to educate them according to their way. But it's not historically, this is not a l'charchila. It's not a l'charchila. But we stand to gain a great deal. We stand to gain a great deal. Reishis, to begin with. Kashi is gadol b'deyazu. When the child grows up with this way of looking at things, lo yiras oviv v'malamda lo aritz ha-moshel z'asher aritz ha-lim shalalav. He will not see his Rebbe and his parents as foreign tyrants who are trying to rule over his life. Because it's his own life that he's making, and he's making his own decisions. He's in control, basically. And the Rebbe is going to teach us throughout the Sefer how to use this approach.
V'hu ba'atzmo ba'anochius shelo. And therefore he has his own anochius, his own sense of ego and self. U'b'yeshuso shehikdim lezgadlebo. He has to rule over himself. He has to educate himself. And if anything, he has to appreciate his parents and his teachers. He has to appreciate and be grateful that they're guiding him and they're helping him and making his own avoda easier. Not that they're telling him this is how you have to live, but that we are here to help make your own avoda easier, to facilitate your own growth. That's what we're here for. We're here as people to help you, not to make you. We're here to help you. It's up to you, but we'll do whatever we can to guide you. This is the information. We'll try to send you to the best yeshivas. We'll try to give you the best rebbeim that we can possibly find and afford. We'll do the best we can for you. But it's up to you. Odzos Navich, also will gain this. Kigam hanorim she'enim isracha kemi'itono kolkach. That even those young people who are not so distant from us, who have not become our enemies, meaning the older generation, just that they're negligent when it comes to avodas Hashem, avodas hakadosh machmas aslus because of laziness, v'svashlus bavad. They're not rebellious necessarily. They're just very lazy. They're lazy, negligent. They too will be mischazek. They too will be strengthened to begin working harder. As I told you, even when it comes to physical work in a family and a child doing his share, that even the laziest kid, when he feels that somehow this chore is being traced back to him, and that it reflects upon him. And that it's his room, or it's his life, and it's his decision. So that sense of self is very strong. The sense of ego is extremely strong. And therefore, it can strengthen even such a child who's lazy. Lavadus avadosa. Ki ha-gemara omeris. Because there's a klal, there's a rule in the Gemara. Kedera de beishutfi lochamim v'lo karira. A pot that is owned by partners will get neither hot or cold. Right? A pot that is owned by partners will not get hot nor won't get cold. Chayku, what does that mean? Chayku beruach ha'odam. It's a chok, it's a rule in human life. Shekishiyesh lo al mi lismoch, that when somebody feels that he has upon whom to rely, Mirashul Huatzmo. Someone else is cooking. Someone else is taking care of the pot. It has shutfim. It's not me. So someone else is taking care of the pot. Someone else is taking care of this food. So therefore, I don't have to worry about it. It's not my achrayis. I share the achrayis with somebody, but it's not my achrayis. Ultimately, it's not my responsibility. Therefore, he's lazy. V'chein anar, af meinu masarev. This laziness, this negligence comes from the fact that the child feels that his parents, his rebbeim and so on, that they're responsible, they take care of everything. It's up to them. And that's why, as I spoke to you, I mean, we discussed this last week. That I always say this, I say this to my wife, that when my wife, when she's around, I don't know if any of you have a similar situation, but I know that my wife is around, so since she's so good-natured, and she'll, you know, and she's constantly bending down to clean up after them, and to pick up their mess, and to do this, and to do that, so the type of mess is unbelievably greater when she's around. And she has to work like 10 times harder. But when I'm on those few occasions when I'm there, so I just tell the from the beginning, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to sleep like that. So I'm not like my wife. My wife is, yeah, it's shameful. It's okay, and she lets them play.
and she's busy taking care of their things and cleaning up. Man, it's amazing. They can do it. I see that they can do it. They just don't feel that they have that chayas to do it because mommy's my slave. Yeah, I have. Why should I work if I have a shivcha? I have my own personal shivcha. She's nice. She smiles. I don't have to pay her anything. It's a shivcha. The children look at their mother like a shivcha. But they're too afraid of the father to look at him like an Eved Kanani. You understand? So they know he means business. So then the kid has a sense of achrayis. This is my responsibility. If not, I'm going to be in trouble. If not, it's not going to get done. You know how many times I'll talk to the kid about, like, you know, what's going on with your room? So, like, the kid will say something, not in these words, but, do you think I enjoy living this way? Like, you know, you think I like, I don't, I'm not happy, I don't like a mess, I like to have a nice clean room. So then my approach is, so then clean it. But the kid understands that when mommy's there, he can get away with it. You know, there's a way to work it out. In other words, if I don't, mommy's not going to yell, mommy's not going to get upset, she'll just do it. And Mimela, so you understand, he looks at his room that he has shutzim in his room. He's part of a corporation. This is not my room. It's not my room. This, I have shutzim over here. Lechemim of la karira. So shutzim, the room is a mess. It's a klal. And how much more so when it comes to spiritual matters? What do I have to worry about? This is not my inyan. It'll get done. It'll get done. I'll end up to be a religious Jew somehow. My teachers and my parents will take care of that. And what's really scary is when the parents are relying on the teachers and the teachers are relying upon the parents. So you have like there are a lot of shutfim. The only one who feels that he has no chelik in it is the kid himself. You guys work this out. You know, so like a kid feels if he turns out to be. If God forbid, if he turns out to be Mechal Shabbos, so his way of looking at things, like he looks at the parents, he looks at the teachers, and he says, like, you know, you guys just didn't make it. You guys, I don't know what happened over here. I really feel bad. You guys just didn't work this out. Look at me, I'm a Mechal Shabbos. Didn't work out. When, not that the child himself doesn't feel that he's failed. Why? Because mommy and daddy and the Rebbe were supposed to clean up the mess. They're supposed to clean up the mess. Therefore, if the kid runs off when he's 15 to go to find some disgusting movie or some club, so it's just my parents. It's not me. I'm not a bal achrayis over my Yiddishkeit. My parents have an achrayis over my Yiddishkeit, not me. My Yirat Shemaim is not up to me. My Yirat Shemaim is up to my parents. Very often, when the kid grows up, he grows older, and he begins to realize that it's his responsibility. Then he looks at his parents' Yiddishkeit and he feels disgusted. He feels disgusted with the Yiddishkeit that his parents gave him. And that's a very, very uncomfortable situation to be in. Hashem should save us from that. When the kid grows up and looks at his parents, looks back. When they're little, they're not going to say anything. Like, the kid's not going to have any tinies. Like, you know, why do you sit me in front of this stupid machine to defile my entire neshama? Why did you put me in front of this machine? Like, what, do you think the kid's going to have a tina? The kid's, the only tina is that there aren't enough channels. He doesn't have any tainus, but if the kid somehow, Bez Hashem, somehow miraculously turns out to be a Yirei Shemaim despite the machine, so the kid turns out to be a Shemaim, then he's going to look back and say, I don't understand you. How did you make such a decision to, just that you should have a little peace and quiet in the house, that you put me in front of such a monster? How do you do such a thing? And the kid has tainus. He takes those tainus with him until he's 120. Tainus. Not when he's little, isn't he? It's great. Just like the kid who doesn't have to clean up his room. My mom, she's great. Maybe like he live in, you know, subcontract, sublease her out to his friends. Because my mom, anything I do, my mom's great. She'll clean up after me. But then afterwards he goes up and he has a taina. I can't believe my mother let me live that way. I can't believe that I had such a, you know, that I had a, like a, you know, I lived in such a mess. Then he has tainas. Not when he's a kid. When he's a kid, it's terrific. Like, you know, mom. So an intelligent parent makes a cheshbon now of what's going to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now with the child's Yiddishkeit. But this is the problem, the Rebbe says. If the child grows up feeling that his Yirat Shemaim depends upon the parent. Now, a child has to know that his Yirat Shemaim, what kind of a Jew he is his responsibility. And the parents will try to give him the best conditions. to make that as easy as possible. And what about the kids that come back 20 years later and they say, how come you put me in a yeshiva where even when I was 16 years old, I couldn't read Rashi? How come you put me in such a yeshiva? Why'd you put me into yeshiva where the other kids in the class, half the kids in the class, was smoking and drinking and running around? How come you put me into such a place? You know what kind of temptations and difficulties I've gone through because you made a decision to stick me into such a yeshiva? Where half the place is going nuts? Do you know the kind of difficulties you've put me through? These are tainus. You have to be an absolute fool to ignore them. Unless you agree with that lifestyle of that those other kids are leading in this school. Or you delude yourself into thinking that if 30, 40, 50% of the class is up to all kinds of mischief, that my kids are going to be just fine. I mean, you have to be deranged to think that. In every school you're going to have, in every class there are going to be some kids that are difficult in every class. But the question is, what's the overall atmosphere of the school? Is there a feeling of growth in this place? Is there a feeling that Torah is something which is the greatest priority, the most important thing in one's life, or is Torah just like a joke? And that's something that when you make a decision, that's something that the child, that's a decision that the child can't make. You're making for the child. Either it's going to save him or it's going to destroy him. And nobody's off the hook till 120. You're not off the hook till 120. If you put your kid in a certain environment, and as a result of him being in that environment, you consciously made that decision. As a result of that, he was put through unbelievable tests, and he became, God forbid, involved in the wrong things. You could talk it into yourself, but till you're 120, it's your achrayus that your child was put into such a place, because that was your decision. When you put your child in front of an internet, in front of a television, you can make all the stories up that you like. I sent him afterwards. Look, I sent him to Shalavim. I sent him to Keren Biavna. I tried to send him to all these nice places. But you were the one that molded the child and gave him that mahalach in life. And therefore, he had to deal with things that a child in another kind of a home would not have to contend with. And his failures are on your head, on the parents' head. His failures are on the parents' head. You think, what's the big deal? You think that a child that sits and watches television and sees the most disgusting things and looks on the internet and sees disgusting things, you think that just when he turns it off, that now he's finished? And even if he gets more religious, and he goes to yeshiva and he does come back from a good year, let's say, in yeshiva, and he's got his tzitzis out and he's talking about, making a siyum, you think that he's forgotten the images that he saw on the television, on the internet when he was 15, 16, 17, 18? Why, did you forget them? Have any of us forgotten them? Are we fooling ourselves? So we're the ones that are putting them in that situation. That they have to struggle their entire lives with certain types and yetzer haras that a Jew shouldn't have to deal with. Nowadays I'll have to deal with it even if you don't have it in the house. But why did you bring it into your own home? These are questions that till we're 120 and after 120 we're going to be asked. But what the Rebbe is saying is that the kol apachis, if the child feels that he has nachrayus of his Yiddishkeit, he has to take charge of his own neshama. It's not just what mommy and daddy give me, but he has to take charge of his neshama. And our generation, we see a lot of the guys, a lot of the girls are doing that. They're taking over their own neshamas. They're taking back their neshamas. So that's something that ultimately can work on the child's behalf. That's what the Rebbe is saying. On top over there. Ukshayaskil Lada Shachaivalov, when the child understands that it's his responsibility, Vraku Baatsmoha Madrich Vamachanech, that he has to guide himself and he has to educate himself, he'll clean up his mess. He'll take care of his life. But not yet. This is not enough. Even if we're able to penetrate into the essence of the personality of the child, to the point where we have shown him that it's that ultimately he has a chrayis over himself,
uvidas atzmo yirtzelis chazik v'lavad avadis hakodesh, and what? And vidas atzmo. And he has to make a decision. And he has to himself want what? Lischazek, to strengthen himself. Lavad avadis hakodesh mikol makom halo amarnu shalo b'levad sichlo. It's not enough just that he understands this intellectually. That what? That he understands with his seichel that to be a Jew is the right thing. Rakam ishius hargishosov, his emotions, his paluyosov, his enthusiasm, his excitement. Afislaviyosov, what causes him to become a slahev, to be inflamed, to be excited. Miskadmas lotzeis koydim zmanam liyos liyish atzmai. Nowadays we spoke about this. That nowadays it's not just a matter of what the child knows, what the child understands. Emotions, desires, excitement, and so on, all of these feelings are miskadmas lotzeis kodem zmanim, are nowadays beginning to emerge in a child, the need for excitement, the need for a thrill. All of these emotions, these needs, are beginning nowadays to emerge in a child much earlier than it used to be. Much earlier than in the past. L'yishlish atzmo, l'yishragesh. That's why, as we spoke about the last few weeks, nowadays you'll have like some 14-year-old kid walking around wishing that he had a girlfriend because he wants to know what it's like to be in love. Could you imagine any of our great-grandparents going over to him when he was 14 years old? You know? Could you imagine?
You patch.
Talking about it, it's like if Bichlal wasn't part of even when they were married, they didn't think they may, if it happened, that's nice. But as far as having certain emotions and certain feelings and being in nowadays. What do you mean? You think that 100 years ago, like the question of a child would be, you know, how do you feel about this? It wasn't how do you feel about this? You just do this. How you feel about it? What do you mean? You can ask a 12-year-old, how do you feel about it? What do you mean? How does he feel? Who cares how he feels? He's a dummy. He's a little nobody. What do I mean by that? I don't mean to put him down. He's a holy neshama. He's a Jew. He's a Jewish child. He doesn't know what right from wrong. What, a 12-year-old knows what's right from wrong? A 15-year-old knows? An 18-year-old knows what's right from wrong? He knows what his friends do, like we spoke to his friends. Say it's right, and it's right. That's all what's right. He knows what's right. He learned enough Torah to make these decisions. He understands the Ratzon Hashem, but he doesn't understand anything. And yet, emotionally, he wants to have a girlfriend. 14-year-old kid wants to have a girlfriend. In the modern schools, in the co-ed schools, they're hunting from before bar mitzvah. They're already hunting. And they already talk. That's what they talk about all the time. All the time, that's what they're talking about. Little sprints, a little yankele. Shidduchim are being made every minute. Every minute. If we could put a little loudspeaker in these places, in the co-ed schools, the co-ed camps, you put a little, I mean, they try now to keep the co-ed camps a little separate. So they try to make like a moat in between, you know. But if you could put a little like a speaker and to listen to the children's conversations, you know what you'd hear? The same conversations we had. What do you think they're talking about? That's what they're talking about. That's what they're thinking about. They're talking about emotional things, about emotions that a 14, 15-year-old has no business even thinking about. Bechlal not. They know bechlal what it means to love someone and what it means to have an achrayis for another person. This is what's on their minds. And the Rebbe didn't know about television. Didn't know about this before Milton Berle. He didn't know, and the rest of those guys, he didn't know about television. He wasn't, nowadays, see, nowadays a kid sits in front of television and he's watching adults in mature situations talking about with late sonnes about about matters that a child has no business dealing with. Bechlal not. Emotionally. I'm not talking about religiously that it's disgusting. I'm saying emotionally. He has the kalim. He has the kalim. You know, to watch, even if it's not a disgusting thing, but some like intense, super intense, like love story. So he's watching some movie. Some 15-year-old kid is watching a movie about this love story. What is he processing? What does this mean to him? All he knows is, I'm going to go out and get me one of those too. That's all he knows. When he turns on the television, I'm going to get myself one of those also. Right? Not like it used to be when there was innocence 70, 80, 100 years ago. So if he would see, like, you know, my father said, like, what got the parents upset? He remembers when he said to his father that he wanted to get a soccer ball. Because he saw, and this is how my father said, he saw that the goyim play a lot of soccer. And the boys in the cheder, they didn't even have a ball. They used to kick around something. They didn't have a ball. And my father asked my grandfather to get a soccer ball. He said that he remembers how his father looked at him. It's like you'd ask for an egel hazahav. So you're thinking, what's so bad about a ball? Nowadays, there's nothing wrong. But to my grandfather, I never met, but to my grandfather, it was like, what are you talking about? What's the matter with you? And I'm sure that they sat down, like my grandparents sat down and said, what do we do? What's going on with him? What is he? Look what he's interested in. Look where his. But these were not emotionally complicated issues to want the soccer ball. He didn't get it. These are not complicated. These are not like. But nowadays. So let's say, so the kid watches, so the kid would be watching the fellas playing soccer, and he says, I like that, I like a soccer ball. That's not so dangerous. But the kid that watches the television show, and he says, I like that, I'd like to get one of those girls for myself. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. I'm not talking about religiously, it's a churban. I'm talking about emotionally. You know what kind of tzaras and agvas nefesh the children have from these inyanim? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what they go through emotionally? Usually they don't talk to their parents about this. It's a funny thing in their lives. It's embarrassing. They don't talk to their parents. Sometimes if you have a very, very open kind of a relationship with your kids, maybe they'll talk about it. Generally, they don't talk about it. The little couples in yeshiva, and an hour and a half, 2 hours from now, it all starts again, a new day. They're little couples in yeshiva. They're little couples in yeshiva. And if it's a co-ed school, anybody that has a little say, you can walk in, and in 5 minutes, you know who belongs to who. So parents who are idiots think, isn't that cute? Like a dog. Like a dog. Isn't that cute? Look how it's so cute. And they call it puppy love, right? Even by the guy. Isn't that cute? Anybody who has intelligence is thinking, I better move to Yerushalayim. I better get out. I'm leaving. That's not cute. It's absolutely crazy. I'm not even talking about religiously. Emotionally. Do you really think that this is a time in life where the child has the kaychas ha-nefesh to process any of this? To deal with that? He hates himself most of the time. You think he knows how to love someone else? So the Rebbe says, all these emotions nowadays, they think they come, the kids already feel like they want, and they're looking for the greatest excitement, the greatest emotional experiences in the world. That's why the kids are looking for a high. Why do they need to have a high? Why do they need to get high? Whatever it is, whether it's to getting on alcohol, on drugs, whether it's on a girlfriend, whether it's on a show, why do they need to get high? They need to have that kind of high. Well, our ancestors, like, I mean, we learned that in Savazir. It's the nature of a human being, and certainly of a Jew, to want his Shrakshis and his Spilas. But the need to get high was like when you go to the Rebbe by Hoshana Rabbah. That's unbelievable. You know, when you go to a tzaddik, right? When you see a good Rabbi Kivega. So he says, Lias Leisha Atzma, he wants to be his own man. This 14-year-old is his own person. Lis Ragesh, Lis Lahev Mi Yofi Hamaduma Shel Shtuse Ha'olam. To become excited Miyoyfe Meduma, from what? From the illusionary beauty of the narishkeit, of the stupidities of this world. It thrills him. He's excited. He's enchanted by all of that. Bivate atetros in the theaters. This is what thrills him. He looks at himself in yeshiva. They can't believe that this. They're torturing me in yeshiva. But when he passes by the theater, that's where it's really fun. That's where it's happening. V'chein mimine hoilulus v'efkeiris hoilum, from all types of efkeiris, wantonness, and so on. Vimloi naktim on loiris nafsho. So we have to be very, very careful, the Rebbe says, to do what? Loiris nafsho, to give him something to be excited about. He's looking for an emotional charge. He's looking for a high. It's our job as parents, and this is what he was saying in Savazir's, it's our job as parents and as teachers to guide him to find excitement in those things of life, in Yiddishkeit and family and so on, in those things in life that will make him into a greater Jew, into a greater person. That he should see a mitzvah as something which is exciting. He should see a mitzvah as something which is exciting. I remember when it's a very hard thing to preserve, but when my son was very little, so he was once, there were a couple of the guys we lived then in Farakwa, a couple of his little friends, they were arguing over something they were playing, and I went to see age. At his age, it was Harmon Killebrew and Tony Oliva, it was Mickey Mantle, this is what we were yelling about. This is what we were fighting about. And I saw that there were the Gedolim cards, and I have this tzaddik and that tzaddik, and to read and to look at the back, and I was explaining that this is where the tzaddik comes from, and so on. There's a hispilus and hisrakshus over things, over dvarim shebekdusha, over things of holiness, to make a siyum and a mishnayis. When's he finishing the mishnayis, as opposed to when does my Sports Illustrated subscription arrive? Or when am I making a siyum in my Sports Illustrated? Making a seam. I've been through every issue for the last year. I'm getting my friends together and making a seam together. We're going to go skiing or something during intercession. The Chvais was. Well, it's Hisrakshis that they're looking for. Sure, they're looking for a high. They're not getting it in Yiddishkeit, so they've got to get it somewhere. We spoke about this a lot in Sava's ears. They have to get it somewhere. The question is where they're going to look for it. If they're in the presence of a Rebbe who's excited over his Yiddishkeit, if they're in a home where there's excitement over Yiddishkeit, then they learn that this is something that could be exciting. And this we spoke about at length, but if they live in a house where they see that when it comes to davening, the parents don't care much about davening, they're half asleep, but they don't go. When it comes to learning, even my father learns, it looks like he's being tortured. When the rabbi's talking, like my father looks like somebody's like giving him an injection. And then he comes home and he says, oh, the rabbi was, did you hear that today? Oh my God, I can't believe it. He was torture, just torture. But then when he sees his parents, when it comes to anything of this world, he sees that his parents are all thrilled and excited and they're mamish into it. So then he learns very quickly what excitement is. Then on top of that, he's watching the television where the only thing they're excited about is tumah. Anything of kedusha is not exciting, it's boring. Everything of tumah is exciting. So then what do you expect of him? Then you think that all of a sudden he's going to be excited over a taisus or something? His parents are not excited over the learning. His parents are not excited over the davening. He sees that the only time that a mother gets excited about something is when it has to do with the house. And the mother gets all excited, you know? There's a new piece of furniture, there's a new dress, the mother's mamish, like, she's misragesha, she's all excited. And the father, you know, whatever his narishkeit is, and he's all excited. So the child learns that this is where his rakshas come. This is where I'm misragish. But he doesn't see any excitement. He doesn't see anything, any reason to become emotionally attached to a page of Gemara, or to be emotionally attached to a siddur, because that's not part of his experience. That's not part of his experience. So the Rebbe's saying, and that's what the Sefer is all about. This is just the introduction. The Rebbe's saying that.
Yeah, there's a lot to come. It's just the introduction. The Rebbe is saying that it's going to be up to the parents to provide that type of a setting where a child is not only that he understands right from wrong, and that he understands that this is the information, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Now you take this and you make your decisions, and you be mechanich yourself. But what about the emotions? What about the excitement? If we don't hurry, because nowadays by 11, 12, 13, they're already looking for those highs. So he says, if we don't hurry to awaken the soul, that it should be excited by a mitzvah, to be enlivened by what? By Torah, by Or Hashem, then we haven't accomplished anything. Because even though he intellectually understands that it's his responsibility to educate himself, he understands that intellectually. Nevertheless, his hargosis and his chukas, even though he knows right from wrong. Look, we mostly know what's right, we know what's wrong mostly, but his hargoshes, his emotions, and his chukas, and his longings, and his yearnings pull him into the wrong thing. Even though he knows that Torah is more choshev than, Torah is more choshev than the girlfriend. He knows that. And he knows that Torah is more choshev than the ball game or whatever it is. He knows that. But it doesn't excite him. It just doesn't do anything for him. That's what the kid is saying. He knows that it's chashev. You think that Rabbi Aaron Kotler and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein are more chashev than Mickey Mantle? He knows that. Well, nowadays I don't know if I've heard of Mickey Mantle either. But of Michael Jordan, he doesn't know that they're more chashev. He knows that they're more chashev. He knows that he'd rather have a child that would come out to be like a Rav Moshe, to come out like a tzaddik. He knows that that's chashev. But it doesn't do anything for me. I don't get anything from that. It doesn't excite me. It's not mire me at all.
Maybe it's not harder today, because in the old times the kid has to go out from the house. He has to go to see the theater. He has to go to have leholam. He has to go outside. The home was okay, and the home was confined.
Well, of course, nowadays is different. That's what I'm talking about.
Bringing the shtus inside.
So. That's what I'm talking about the whole time. Of course it's much harder for the child. The kid goes to yeshiva all day, and he feels, another Rashi, another Tosis, they're killing me. And then he walks into the house, and he has something to eat, and he walks into the room, and he presses the remote control, dun da da da, that's Machaya. Now he goes off. How he goes off? It goes to Never Never Land. So you understand the chilek, an unbelievable chilek. That's the question. It used to be that to a large extent, even the street in the old days was unexciting. Like the way my father talks about chazanis is like, when they were kids, this is what they were into, chazanis. Can you imagine? They were into chazanis. Not that I'm saying anything against chazanis. Publicly, but they were into chazanis. Like my father's greatest thrill was a good chazan. My father said that's what the kids used to talk about. Did you hear? It wasn't a good bal tefillah. That's what they. My father. You talk to an old Jew and they'll tell you this was an Indian. And they used to talk about them. My father never heard in Europe. He never heard Moshe Kusevitz. He heard Yosel Rosenblatt. They knew Yosel Rosenblatt. They knew of because Yosel Rosenblatt also went to Europe and they knew Yosel Rosenblatt. But this was like my father remembers when Yosel Rosenblatt came to Hungary, and that all the kids like Lahav's like to a movie star nowadays. Yosel Rosenblatt. When you say to this day, you say Yosel Rosenblatt. My father's like it was like a star, Yosel Rosenblatt. And who was Yosel Rosenblatt? He was a Jew with a long beard. He was an Eilich Yid. Yosel Rosenblatt was a tzaddik. He did tzaddik. But this was they got excited by what? Oh, did you hear that in the Sanat Taikif today? Wow, that was something. That was in the Sanat Taikif. That's what they got excited about. And a page of Gemara. They got excited about it. This was the chiyas. in a negative way, they were tumult about, you know, that the other guy's Rebbe is not really a tzaddik, you know. They were tumulting. I used to have this argument with my Hasidic cousins that they used to, when I would go to them, I would talk to them, they were saying crazy things about other tzaddikim. When we were little kids, they would say, this Rebbe, only their Rebbe was. So I said, how are you, what are you doing? You don't believe in there's an issue of Lashon Hara? What are you saying, Lashon Hara? Not only about a regular Jew, you're saying about Tzaddik. So they said, no, you'll have to say Lashon Hara about other Rebbes. I said, what do you mean? Because that's part of how your love for your Rebbe, that's part of your love for your Rebbe, that you have to put down all the other Rebbes. But this is what they're tumulting about, you understand? The kids nowadays, they couldn't care less about this Rebbe or that Rebbe. It's some nice old gentleman. They wouldn't knock him over in the street. But that's about it, or they, help him carry a bag or something. But as far as tumulting, what is he? He tumults over whether Bells or Satma Lubavitch, what's an afkumin? They're all okay because I don't care about any of them. What's an afkumin to me? They don't get it. But tumulting over Chazonim? The kids were tumulting over Chazanim. It's hard for us to believe. My father told me, this is what they were fighting. They were yelling at each other, you hold it. He's a good Chazanah. This is a Chazanah. But if you think about it, it's unbelievable. There wasn't much else going on in the streets those days. Because even in the non-Jewish world, there was some degree of tznias. There was a certain degree of concealment and of modesty that nowadays is total hefka. Total hefka. And there were certain places that they knew that were so totally off limits that a Jew simply couldn't go to that. It wasn't shaykh for a Jew to go. But nowadays, especially nowadays that there's an internet, is there any place that a child can't go? And no one has to even see him. He can go anywhere he wants. And he doesn't have to even be embarrassed. Because no one sees him. Because mommy and daddy are sleeping. It's 2:00 in the morning. He just puts in his password, and he presses the latest website that he heard about from his little friend in school, and he's there, he's gone, and he has his hisrogshus. Ooh, he's excited, and then it comes 8:00 in the morning. It's time for davening, time for yeshiva. It's got to be the biggest downer in the world after a night by the internet. The Rebbe doesn't stand a chance. That's what the Rebbe's are up against. You know that. The Rebbe does not stand a chance. Because the best Rebbe in the world cannot compete with a pretty girl on the television and with a pretty girl on the internet. The best Taisvis can't compete with the stuff that they're talking about in the chat room, the boys and girls. The best Rebbe can't compete with that. And that's not a question of something intellectually. The kid understands that Torah is more chashiv. If you'd ask the kid, he'd say, of course, I know that Rashi is, and I know that it's important. But Rashi, this doesn't do it for me. I don't get excited by Rashi. But my parents are sleeping, and I go off into that magical world of the internet. Then I get excited. That makes me feel good. And then when he gets a little bit older, then it's not enough that it stays as just some sort of an image on the computer on the screen. Then he wants to have a live one, and he goes looking for excitement in the wrong places. So the Rebbe says, therefore, nowadays, it's not just a question of reaching the mind of the children, but to reach their souls when they're still young. That's why he's going to explain that nowadays you have to learn with them chassidus and avodah from the earliest age. It has to be with our bread, with the hislavus, the avodah Hashem. Let's just finish this paragraph. His emotions and his that could all pull him away from the proper path. And it can get him involved in a life that he himself knows is ra. He knows it's evil. He knows it's wrong. The kids know that it's wrong. But what can he do? He can't stop himself. Most of the sinners know, and certainly in the beginning, they know that what they're doing is wrong. They know intellectually that it's wrong. Their excitement and their taivus is too strong for them to handle. And it throws them into the be'er shachas, into the bottomless pit of their taivus. Therefore, the Rebbe is going to go on to explain is that it's not enough to reach out to the mind of the children.
but to reach out to the souls, to the neshamas, and therefore we have to begin from the earliest age to make Yiddishkeit something which is exciting and appealing, so that they'll be able to at least compete and to contend with the excitement of the world that surrounds them. Hashem will continue next week.